Amen, that I am going. Amen. If you'll find your Bibles, amen, there this evening. Amen. And turn to Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 24. I'm just going to read this one verse, Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 24. Amen. Pray for my voice tonight that it will hold out. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 24, if you have it, say amen. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We find this is something that Jesus spake. He was talking there, and he made this statement, that no man can serve two masters. Amen. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, who will you choose? Who will you choose? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house. I pray that you'd move in each and every one of our hearts, God, that you would challenge us. God, help us to make that choice, God. In your name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Who will you choose? Amen. We find here that Jesus said that no man can serve two masters. Amen. You will either go to one and you will hold, or you will despise the other. Amen. We just came out of 2 weeks of revival. Amen. We had nothing but revival services every night where we had the Word of God. We have the choice to make whether we would receive, amen, the Word of God, or whether we would shun it, whether we agreed with it or disagreed with it. Amen. As the service has progressed tonight, amen, you have the opportunity to either participate in parts of the service or not participate. Amen. Everywhere we go, we are given a choice. When you go into the drive-thru at the restaurant, amen, used to it was just either a hamburger or French fries. But now they got chicken nuggets, or you can go to Sonic and you can have breakfast all day. If you want a breakfast burrito at 10 o'clock at night, you can get it. Choices. We all have choices to make. I'm going to do a little illustration. Brother Titus is going to help me here for a minute. Amen. Stand right here, and once London comes out, I want you to start calling for her. London, come here. Come to Daddy. Come here. Come here. No, come over here. London, come over here. She made a choice. It's a really good example. We all seen it. She was torn. But who'd she come to? She came to Daddy. Because she know Daddy's going to give her something. Here you go. Hold on to that for me, okay? Got that for me? All right. Keys to the kingdom. All right. Go over there to Titus. No, hey, come here. London, come here. She has to make a choice. Thank you, baby. You can go back and sit down. Thank you, Titus. Give you guys a little bit of example. She didn't really know any better. She just knew somebody was calling her name. You notice she came past me, and then Titus started calling her name. And she started to go on past. I want to talk to us here for just a minute on what we'll choose. There are some of us here tonight that are of age where we can choose to reside at home, or we can decide to move out. Because we're of that age. I remember, amen, when it came time for me to make a decision whether I was going to pursue, amen, my wife's, Lindsay's hand in marriage or not. I had to make a decision. Life is full of decisions. But I want to talk to us here tonight about our spiritual decisions. We find in Joshua chapter number 24 and verse number 15, and it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. You've got to make that decision every time that you arise out of bed to make that decision. Jacob was faced with that decision. Amen. When he faced off with that, amen, with God. Amen. With the angel there that was Jesus Christ. Amen. He was unable to be able to. Amen. He found himself in that position where he had to make a decision of who he was going to be. He had to first of all recognize who he was. He asked him, What is your name? Amen. And we find that Jacob told him, my name is Jacob. And if we find that he told him, your name will be Jacob no longer. Amen. But it will be known as Israel. We find all throughout Jacob's life, amen, that there was times in his life where Jacob began to come back out and begin to expose himself. But I'm here to tell you tonight that we've got to make a decision, amen, whether we're going to continue to let man, amen, the supplanter, the deceiver, to continue to let him out, or if we're going to make a choice to serve Jesus Christ and crucify our flesh, amen, and become something more than what we are. Brother Jason was talking about in Sunday school this morning about being perfect. Amen. We can't be perfect within ourselves, but when we allow the work of God to work inside of us, then that work cometh forth perfect. Amen. It can be tried in the fire. Amen. It can be produced. Amen. It's nothing but pure gold. But the only way that will happen, boys and girls here tonight, is if you are willing to choose Christ. But you've got to make that choice. Joshua had to make that choice. Amen. We can find the disciples had to make that choice. Peter, after he had denied Christ, we find that after Jesus Christ had risen, Peter had to make that choice. We find that whenever Jesus told them to go and wait, Peter had to make that choice whether he was going to go out and go fishing or if he was going to go up and he was going to wait in the upper room. Here tonight, you boys, amen, here on the front row have to make a decision whether you're going to continue down the path that you're on or if you're going to change course and set it, amen, for what God has established in your lives. You've got to begin to look at what God has done for you in these last couple weeks. Begin to grab a hold of the things that he has challenged you with. Begin to allow God begin to cause things to grow inside of you that you've never had before, because you've got to make that choice. Amen. If you go out in this world and say, I'll go whichever way, amen, it satisfies me, I'm here to tell you tonight that you'll be disappointed at the end of that road, because at the end of that road is nothing but destruction and disappointment. But if you make a choice here tonight to choose Christ, to allow him to lead and guide your life, you will no longer, amen, look back at your life as a disappointment, amen, but a special appointment for Jesus Christ to live, amen, and lead like he wants you to lead. We find in John chapter number 8 in verse number 36, it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. We find that liberty, amen, that freedom is found whenever you begin to acknowledge, amen, your failures. You find where you came up short and you stop looking on how you're going to fix it, but begin to look at the Son, Jesus Christ, and how he can begin to perfect your way. But you have to choose. You have to choose. I was reading here not too long ago through the scriptures. There was a king, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he decided that he was going to start worshiping an idol of another group there, because he said their God blessed them. He was serving the true God at the moment, but he decided he was going to serve their God because of the area and atmosphere he was in his life. When things come and begin to change in your life, you got to continue to choose what is right, even when it's not popular. You've got to stand for truth, even though it's not popular. What we find about this king is he built an altar, he built up idols, and he began to worship this other God, and we find that his end was quick. His reign ended. Another king was brought into his place. Because he chose something else. He chose what fit the flesh. Every morning, every day, you are faced with two people. Your flesh and your spiritual man. When you roll out of bed, you have to make a choice of who you're going to serve. We find in the New Testament, amen, we talked about this, I believe, in Sunday school, talking about that, as Paul said, I must die daily. We've got to crucify ourselves. We've got to plunge ourselves into the position of where Jesus Christ would have us be. It's not about where I want to be or how I want to live my life, but I live my life according to how His Word says that I should live it. We would have a whole lot less issues in our life if we begin to focus in on how the Word of God would have us live and have us do. But it takes us making a decision of whether we're going to choose, amen, to obey it or not. We find in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 7. It says, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now this is Jesus Christ speaking after he had been in temptation, the 40 days temptation there with the devil. How many days have you been tempted, Titus? Just stuck out there by yourself, just nothing but you and the devil. That's the place that he was at. Day in and day out. Now, we don't really, throughout the rest of the New Testament, it doesn't really necessarily depict Satan tempting him physically. But every time a lawyer approached him, the Sadducees, the Pharisees that tried to trip him up, those were all temptations where he could have just flexed his spiritual muscles that God, that he knew was his God-given right from being the Son of God. He could have flexed them and showed them exactly who he was. But instead, he still submitted himself to the Father. How many times do we allow the devil to begin to tempt us? And we fall short. We fall into that temptation. But Jesus Christ went through them temptations and sinned not. As we begin down our going down through our life of choices, amen, we're always going to be given a temptation. But it's up to us whether we will choose to fall for it or we'll choose to stand. We find down in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse 15, it says, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. That sounds kind of rough, doesn't it? Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him. And where'd they tempt him at? They tempt him there at Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes which he had commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee. And thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. We find that the children of Israel was given, amen, a command here that they're supposed to be obedient. They're supposed to do and obey his commandments and his statutes and follow along with them things. And when we find if they are obedient and following after his will and his way, they are blessed. Amen, church, but it's up to us to make that decision. Jacob, when he was wrestling there, he could have made a decision and just say, well, I'm going to let go. He could have completely forgot about the time where he's seen in his vision, in that dream of the ladder coming down and touching earth. He could have continued to be Jacob the supplanter. Jacob, the one that took the birthright. The one that took the blessing. But instead, he decided to make a choice and to hold on. We've got to make a choice here tonight. Who will you choose? Who will you choose? We find in James chapter number 4 and verse number 7, it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." I want us to look at this first portion of the scripture here. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." You've got to be submitted to his will. You've got to be submitted to his way. It's like a perfect example is London when we tell her to go and do something, that she submits herself to that and that she does it. It's like right now I say, Ryan, or that's usually you're right in there. Tony, get up and get that trash can. All right, put the trash can down. Come back and sit down. Now stand up. What's he doing? He's following orders. He's being submissive to whatever the command is. Thank you. You can be seated. What would happen if we would do that when God speaks to us? When he says, Titus, I want you to stand and run around the church. Or he says, I want you to go back and I want you to witness to so-and-so, or I want you to pray. What would begin to happen if we would start being so sensitive to the Spirit of God that we would awake from our sleep and begin to pray yet once again? We find in verse number 8, it says, "Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." This is all in the same verse. I want us to realize something here, church. In the earlier part there in verse number 7, it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil." That makes a statement that he is present. He is tempting you. And it says, "And he will flee from you." Anytime you come in contact with something that is dirty, you are now unclean. When the devil brings some temptation and tries to rub it up against you and say, "Hey, I want you just to fall for this just for a minute." Even after we resist the devil and he flees from us, we find the scripture tells us that we need to cleanse ourselves because we have just now become in contact with something that is contaminated. Amen. We feel so many times that we don't have to enter into that prayer chamber, amen, to refuel, to revive ourselves because we've just been, amen, we've seen victory. We've seen the devil kick up heels and run. But we find here in verse number 8, it says, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." We've got to make that decision because we were tempted, we were tried, and we won over the victory over the devil. He flew and he ran away, but we have to realize that there was a split moment there that we might have tried to make a decision whether to do it or not to do it. We might have been double-minded in that moment, but in order for us to make that right decision, we've got to begin to, afterwards to begin to cleanse ourselves, purify ourselves so that whenever we are up against him again, that we will begin to have victory. That's why it's important to continually to draw nigh to God. Begin to find yourself in prayer. Amen. After a temptation, find yourself worshiping and glorifying God. Amen. So that his presence will begin to consume you. Amen. That you will begin to find yourself, amen, in victory after victory instead of victory into failure. In order for that to happen, we've got to make that decision. "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." James chapter 4 and verse number 17. We have to make that decision. Jonathan, do you know what the speed limit is out here on the road? 35. You would get a ticket. Next. It's 25. On Main Street here, it's 25 miles an hour. Now, we all know the speed limit's 25, except for Jonathan and Sister Pepper. So what happens if you're going 35 in a 25? Whoop, whoop. All over.
That's it. We need new squad cars. We need new equipment. We need a bigger speed limit sign so Sister Pepper can read it.
I'm just teasing.
But what happens if we don't pay attention? If we don't do what we know is right? I've had several speeding tickets. I'm not perfect. I'm striving to be, Brother Larry. I tell you, every time, you know, here down 66, they just came through down 66. They took all the old speed limit signs down. They put up bigger ones. They're a couple, they're probably 3 or 4 inches wider, 3 or 4 inches taller. Some of you might not have noticed them because you don't notice them in the beginning. But they put in new speed limit signs. And they have those special little reflector edges around them that you can't really see unless you got your headlights on. I came down through and seen them guys putting them up, and I was thinking about that. I was like, man, that's interesting. It's like, what, they put a new post in? Well, the next day I come by, Brother Jason, and they were cutting the old signs off. They doing away with the speed limit? Yes. Came back later on that afternoon, Brother Larry, and there they were. They were bolting new signs up. Same speed limit, just a lot bigger sign. Why? Because they want people to be able to be informed on what's going on. I'm here to inform you tonight. You have a choice to make. Who will you choose? Will you choose God or will you choose self? Who will you choose? Some of you here tonight have already made up your mind. To write this message off because it's not for me. Because I don't need to make a decision, Sister April. I'm fine. I prayed last night before I went to bed. Or I prayed Sunday morning in church. But how much time throughout the rest of the day did you continue to keep entering in to make sure you were making that right choice? Because at any moment, he could come back. And if we don't choose life, if we don't choose him, his will, his way, then we're choosing wrongly. Some of you here tonight might be saying, well, I have my own things that I want to do. That's fine. You will be able to do them once you are completely submitted to God. He might see fit that it will not cause you any harm. And you can still go and do that. But his main goal for you tonight is that you would experience true salvation and completely sold out to him, because he wants nothing less, amen, than your name written down in the book of life. Amen. In the book of life. Amen. He wants it written, church, in the book of life. Not in the book, amen, that says you're going elsewhere. He doesn't want to have to get out the whiteout and take your name off of the ledger. But instead, he wants to inscribe it in stone because he wants you there. He has a heart, amen, for you tonight. He wants to see nothing, amen, for you more than nothing but love, hope, joy, and peace, amen, in the midst of turmoil. He has got that for you, but it takes a decision part, amen, in your life, amen, to choose him. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. I know there's steps here, but if I just say, well, I can just walk on air, what's going to happen at this point? I'm going to fall. Because I'm not as young as Jonathan and as agile and just as quick. Jonathan could make this lip, probably not this little lift here, lip jump off here and not hurt himself. I would probably strain something. Because I'm getting of that age where I'm not as active as I should be. Because I have other things on my plate. So I'm using wisdom by taking them one at a time. Now, going back up, I can skip one, see? Because I know what I'm capable of doing. Because I have to make a choice. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name,
that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of thing in heaven and thing in earth and thing under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Who do we serve? Who died for us? Jesus Christ. Ask London all every once in a while, we'll say, who made the world? Who made the world, London? Who made the world? Jesus. She loves Jesus. We was talking at the house on Thanksgiving evening. We were sitting around there before, and we started saying things that we were thankful for. Because she's of that age where she knows what it means to have something. She also knows what it means to have something taken away. How much do you like your life? You love living. How would you like to live for eternity? Because that's available if you choose. If you choose. I'm fixing to close. John chapter 14 and verse number 12. Sister Lindsay, if you get ready to come to the piano. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he also do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now here is where the ball comes into our court. If ye shall ask anything in my name, means we have to make a choice, Brother Robert. I will do it. Next thing, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. What will you choose? He has set out a whole list of things throughout the Word of God that we can live our lives by, and that we can use them things to prosper. But so many times we take all them things, we bundle them up, we set them off to the side to the things I'll look at a later date. And we just want to run after something that's a blessing. Brother Jason, in order for us to have that blessing, we first of all got to go through those things that he's laid out for us to do. If you want to have a prosperous life, if you want to see God begin to do great and wondrous things in you, you've got to make that choice that I'm going to follow, that I'm going to do, and that I'm going to obey. On his deathbed, he was fixing to pass. He called in Joseph, and he wanted him to come in. I believe it's in chapter 47, if you want to read it. There in chapter number 47, he's down around the latter part of that chapter there. Joseph comes into his father, and Jacob brings him in and has him give him a vow. But whenever he had him come and make a vow, he wanted him to experience the place where he had been touched. He took Joseph's hand and put it on the place where God had touched him, on his thigh. And he had him make him a promise. But he had him make him a promise on something that God had done for him. Church, it's up to you to make a decision tonight. What will you choose? I want you to look back on what God has done for you and challenge you in this revival. It's not just something that should be of the past. It's something that happened. It's something that was real. But you've got to reach back and grab a hold of something that God spoke to you. And I want you to grab hold of it in your mind and your heart. Place your hand there upon that place that God had touched. Go ahead and make him that promise that I'm going to choose. I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose Christ. I'm going to choose that my name is written in the book of life. Because every one of us here tonight has got to make a journey home. We are not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next 10 seconds. But you've got to make that choice. You've got to begin to look back and grab a hold of what God has promised you, what He has done for you. And say, I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose what He has said to me. I'm going to stand upon His word that I might, amen, be able to have life, that I might have it more abundantly, that I might be used in this world to affect His kingdom. But that will only happen if you will choose tonight. Because tomorrow could be too late. Titus, tomorrow could be too late. Timmy, Jonathan, Isaac, you guys are young. But you're not promised tomorrow. So make right now count for the kingdom. Because that's what we're working for. This, amen, as Brother Jason said, this is the tool. You guys are the ones that can run the tool, but it's up to you to make that choice. Make it tonight as the church stands.